We're starting on Ayin Bet Amud Bet. What we have today, it all started with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah started out, if you recall, in the beginning of Parak Shmini, Ha'arel, the Cholat Tmeim Lo Yochlu B'Truma. Okay, the Arel is associated with the Tmeim, that they can't eat Truma. Now the question is it just random that Arel is with Tameh, or are there other Halachot also where the Arel and the Tameh are similar? And that's what we're going to deal with at the beginning of Shir, is to try to figure out, are things that are relevant to a regular Tameh person relevant also to an Arel? Okay, because we don't have all the laws of everything in the Torah, right? We don't have all the details given. So when we have categories that aren't mentioned in relation to other things, we have to figure out...
What is the
Arel? Arel is someone who doesn't have a Brit Milah. Okay, no, okay, uncircumcised.
That's what we're on here.
Yeah, that's what we're up to, the uncircumcised.
The
okay, yeah, what are we up to? Is that what you want to know? Oh, okay, you look
no,
like
no,
you want
to
ask
something.
I read
what you pointed and
yeah.
I understand where we are. Thank
okay,
you.
Great. So we're now starting with this halacha of Rabbi Elazar. We're about a little bit... before the halfway point of I am bet, I'm a bet. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Arel shehiza haza tok shera. Now what we're talking about, when somebody became a tmei mate, okay, they were impurified by a dead body. So what do you have to do? You have to sprinkle the water, that's water mixed with ashes of the para aduma, the red heifer. So now what's the situation here? Can an Arel be involved in the process? That's the question, okay? If you recall, we learned this whole thing, we're going to see it again today, in the past, about a tful yom. Remember what a tful yom is? A tful yom is someone who gets contaminated, you know, impure, they become tameh, they go to the mikveh in the morning, but they have to wait until sundown, till the purification process is finalized. So the whole day after they've went to the mikveh, until the time that that the sun sets, they're considered a tful yom. So they're in this in-between category. On the one hand, they're pure because they've dunked in the mikvah. On the other hand, they're not because the sun hasn't set. The final procedure hasn't happened. Now, in order to eat truma, they're not allowed to eat truma. That's the first mishnah of brachot. It's the most famous, right? One of the most famous mishnahs. When do we start saying kriyat shema at night? From the time that the kohanim were allowed to eat truma. And then the gemara says, why didn't you just say tzeda kohavim, right? It would have been simpler to just say when three stars come out. And they say, this way we teach you another halacha. Which is that the kohanim, when they eat truma, they have to wait until, really, it's the end of sunset, right? They have to wait until three stars come out. So now, what do we say here? That within a tful yom is allowed to deal with the para aduma stuff. We had this whole halacha about how the para aduma has a certain kula, a certain leniency, that one who is a tful yom is allowed to deal with the para aduma. So now we're going to make a comparison with this tful yom to the arel, okay? And then we'll see if it works or not. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So arel shehiza zatok shira midi dehave a tful yom. Just like a tful yom is allowed to deal with the para aduma, so can the arel. Okay? So now they say, sha'apa pisha asur b'truma kasher b'para. Right? Even though the arel is asur b'truma, he's kasher b'para. So now the Gemara is going to ask, what kind of a comparison are you making? Ma l'tful yom shekem mutar b'maaser. But tful yom, you can say it's the same level as arel, but really the tful yom is more chamor. Is more kal. It's more lenient in general. How do we know tful yom is more lenient? Because he's allowed to eat maaser. Okay? Whereas an arel, one second. He can eat maaser. And what do we say about the arel about maaser?
Just says here, the note, whereas an arel is not.
Right, I guess he can't. Okay, fine. Okay. So the tful yom basically has a leniency, which means that you can't learn just because he's allowed to do para aduma doesn't mean that the arel is allowed to do para aduma, right? The whole way we compare is to say, that this is more stringent and it's allowed, then it's going to be allowed. So now they say, I did this whole chart exactly for this reason, right? What's allowed and what's not. Okay, so here, let's look at the chart. So tful yom, right, is mutar for achilat maaser, okay, if you look at the first chart, and the arel is asur. So now they want to make this comparison that if a tful yom is kasher for haza'ah, right, then maybe the arel should be pasul, because the arel can't eat maaser, so he must be, what they're basically saying is, if one's allowed to eat maaser, we're going to assume then that that's connected with their ability to sprinkle the blood. Okay? So now they're going to question that assumption. They're going to say, Atu ana lachila kamrinan? Okay, so now, what did we say? A tful yom and an arel are similar about truma. What are they similar in the truma case? This is how we started. The arel and the tful yom both can't eat truma. That was our Mishnah. Arel v'atzma'im can't eat truma. But now they're saying, if you want to compare the sprinkling of the blood, you're comparing apples and oranges. You're comparing ability to eat. So the arel can't eat truma, and neither can the tful yom. But when it comes to maaser, the arel can't, and yet the tful yom can, and that's why you can't make this comparison, is what they're saying. But then they're saying, you're comparing eating, but really, you're not eating the para aduma, okay? That's not the issue. You're talking about touching, coming in contact with. Because truma has two issues, right? One is you can't eat kodshim, but also you can't touch things. So now they're going to say, if you start comparing it to touch, then we're going to come up with a different answer. Why? So what do they say? So ana l'achila kamrina. Why are you trying to say we were talking about achila? No, ana l'negiya kamrina. We're making a comparison about touching. Umat tful yom sha'asur b'negiya de truma and mutar b'paras. So now the tful yom can't touch truma. Okay? You can look at the last part on the chart. You're going to see it's the exact flipped. When it comes to touching truma, the tful yom is forbidden and the arel is allowed to. An uncircumcised person is allowed to touch the truma. So now we're going to see, right, so when it comes to, if you want to say one's lenient and one's stringent, well, in this issue, when you're talking about touching, and that's our issue, because it's paraduma, so which is more stringent? The tful yom is more stringent. And if the tful yom, which is stringent, is allowed to touch the mechatat, well, then obviously the arel, who's allowed to touch the truma, should be allowed. Okay, so that's why they're rejecting this question, basically. They asked a question, they said, well, isn't tful yom more lenient? And now they're saying, for the issues that we need, tful yom is more stringent. Okay, so let's read it inside. So, umat tful yom sha'asur b'negiyah de truma, and yet it's mutar b'para. Okay, right, it's forbidden to touch, but yet it's mutar in the para. So, arel sh'mutar b'negiyah eino din sh'mutar b'para. Shouldn't it be that it is? Okay, so we started with saying that, right, we wanted to question Rabbi Lazar's halacha by saying, you can't make that comparison. One is, right, the tful yom is more lenient, and therefore it's allowed with para, but the arel wouldn't be allowed. Then we said, no, for our issues that we're comparing, it's really the touching, and for the touching purposes, to touch truma, the arel is more lenient, and therefore we're going to allow him also to touch the para. Okay, now we're going to have, so we rejected the question against Rabbi Elazar. Now we're going to bring a support for Rabbi Elazar from a braita. Tanya namihachi, arel shehiza zatok shera. Okay, the halacha says it's straight out in this braita. If he does it, it's kasher. And not only does the braita say this, but we've seen this before, this kind of a thing. And not only that, but we saw a case when it actually happened, right? Sometimes we say, oh, something's, you know, we can be lenient, but when it comes down to the case, sometimes people don't say, oh, well, you know, I didn't say lamase, I didn't say you could really do this, but here they say a case happened, and they said it was all fine. So what do you see? We prove his case. But now we're going to bring another question. Meitibin. Tumtum shekidesh. Okay, for this I charted it out also, this braita. Okay, we're going to have two different opinions here about an androgynous. Okay, tumtum, remember, is someone who has, his sexual organs are hidden, so you can't tell if he's male or female. So tumtum shekidesh, if he does, what's the problem with the tumtum generally for our purposes? He's an arel, he doesn't have a brit milah, and as he's a suffix arel, maybe he's a man, maybe he has male organs, and obviously he doesn't have a brit milah because his organs are hidden. So tumtum shekidesh kidusho pasul. Mipnei shehu safek arel. Okay, if he deals with the para aduma waters, okay, he puts the ashes into the water and makes the water holy. That's why it's called shekidesh. He's pasul. It's pasul. Why? Because he's a safek arel. But arel pasul lekadesh. Already we see our question, although we're going to continue with this whole braita, but that's our question. We just said the arel is kasher to deal with the para aduma, and here it says the arel is pasul. So there we have an absolute contradiction. But before we get there, we have to finish the braita. Androgynous shekides, but if it's someone who has both male and female signs, so now obviously they do a brit milah, okay, and therefore if he's kidesh, kidusho kasher, okay, it's good. Why is it good? Because he's not an arel, okay, and then you have to assume then that a woman is allowed to deal with the para aduma stuff because he's a suffix, it's a woman, so it could be he's a woman, in which case, or a female, I should say, in which case it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ah, androgynu shekidesh kidusha psulim, mipnesha safek isha, bisha psula milakadesh. So we have a machloket about women. Can they deal with the paraduma? Can't they? So now, again, put this aside for a minute. We're going to get back to our issue. Katane miha, arel v'safek arel, pasul milakadesh. Okay, simply said, it contradicts what we said, what Rabbi Elazar said. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hi, Tana. Tana's Birubi Akivahu. Okay, there's a very typical way of saying, right? What do we say? Oh, don't worry that it contradicts. This is a one guy's opinion. It's not the generally accepted practice. So we now have Rabbi Elazar says one thing. The Braita says something else. No problem. The Braita is Rabbi Akiva Shita. Okay? So now, how do we know it's Rabbi Akiva Shita, that he has a Shita like this? And this is going to be a bit of a question. First, we're going to say it as if it's obvious. Then we're going to question it. Rabbi Akiva says, Ish ish l'rabot ha'arel. Okay, ish ish, we saw this pasuk the other day. It's ish ish mizera aharon, someone from the Kohen family. V'hu tsarua ozav. Okay, he's got some tame. He's got he's leprous, or he has a zav, he has a discharge. Bakodashim lo yochal. He can't eat holy stuff. Ad asher yitma. Okay, so now what do you see? He can't eat the truma, right? And then, what do you see here? I want to make it very clear, okay? This pasuk is about eating truma, okay? So now, he can't eat truma. So ish comes to include not just the tameh, which was mentioned in the pasuk, right? But also the arel, okay? So we now have the arel is included in the issur of eating truma. So what do you see then? If he's included with the tameh in this pasuk, then we're going to assume what? That Rabbi Akiva holds that for everything, the arel is like a tameh. And that's what they're going to question. Okay, right now they're assuming it's for everything, not just eating truma. Because remember, what's our case? It's touching, right? It's touching the mechatat, right? The para aduma. Touching the para aduma, which we said before, is like touching truma. Okay? But touching truma is not the same as eating truma. Okay? So right now they're saying Rabbi Akiva holds that by eating truma it's the same. RL is exactly equal to tameh. So we're going to assume that it's the same also for touching. So now, Amar Rava. Rava says to Rav Yosef, who gives this answer, right, and remember, why did we bring that answer? All to say, don't worry that the bright contradicts Rabbi Elazar. The bright is Rabbi Akiva Shita. So Amar Rava, Hava Yatvina Kameja Rav Yosef, Bekashili, and I asked him, Lo lishtame tanda velitne ha'arel v'hatame, v'lema Rabbi Akiva hi. If that were the case, that touching truma would be usher and touching the paraduma and all that, there should have been a mishnah where it talks about those halachot that said the arel and the tame, and it should have said there that that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. V'lo, okay, and it's not there, right? There is no such mishnah that compares the arel to the tame when it comes to touching truma. So now, they say, wait, there is. V'lo, what do you mean there isn't? The Hakatani. Wait, there's a Mishnah that says, I think it's a Mishnah or a Braita, I don't remember. I think it's a Braita. Ha'arel v'hatame p'turim min ha'ri'iyah. What do you see? What's ri'iyah? That's bringing the sacrifices, the olat ri'iyah. Remember when it comes to the Chagiga, we learned this in the very beginning of Chagiga. On the holidays, they would bring a special sacrifice. And everyone was obligated in that sacrifice because it says everybody has to see the face of God three times a year. And what does it mean to see the face of God? To bring a sacrifice, an ola, korban ola. So now there it says that the arel and the tameh don't have to do the korban re'iyah. Now what's the assumption? Why don't they have to do the korban re'iyah? Because they're tameim, right? And you can't go into the azara if you're tameh, right? The azara, the Beit HaMikdash, where all the sacrifices are happening, you're not allowed to go if you're tameh. And even by sending a shaliach, we don't let you because, what do we assume? Because the arel is considered like the tameh. So what do you see here? You see that arel equals tameh when it comes to things of touching, like going into the Beit HaMikdash, right? It seems to be exactly the same. So now the Gemara answers no. Don't assume that the arel is like the tameh for re'iyah because the arel is like contaminate, you know, impure, and he can't come into the Mikdash because he's impure. It's for a different reason that the RL can't come in. It's true he's listed with the Tameh, but it's not for the same reason. Hata mishum dimais. Okay, it's because an RL is considered despicable. Okay, it's disgusting not to have a Brit Milah. That's the way it's understood. And because of that, he can't come into the Mikdash. And because of that, he's patur even, by the way, this doesn't even mean he has to come into the Mikdash. He's patur even from sending a shaliach to do his sacrifice for him, just because he's an arel. So now, what do you have here? In the end, what have we concluded? That we don't have any proof that this braita is Rabbi Akiva, basically. Because we don't have any proof of what Rabbi Akiva would hold specifically in the instance of touching. Whether an arel is considered tameh, if he touches something, it contaminates it, or not. Okay, so we're left really with the question here. On Rabbi Elazar, okay? Now we're going to go back to this machloket. Okay, if you look at the second chart on the sheet, Okay, this metive, the tumtum, and the androgynous. Okay, so now I made a new chart of it because now we're going to start to see. This is like off on a tangent. What's the logic behind Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda's opinions? Okay, about the androgynous. Sorry, I lost my place. Okay, the Azdu l'ta'amayu. They both go according to their reasoning that they say elsewhere. Okay, that there's another machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim that basically lines up exactly the same. What is it? Hakol k'shirim l'kadesh chutz mi'chereish shoteh v'katan. Everyone is kosher to do the para aduma stuff, except for a cheresh, a shotan, a katan, because we've said many times, right, they don't have da'at, they don't have intelligence, so they can't do it. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan uposel b'isha. Okay, so meaning, if you say everyone's kshirim except for cheresh, shotan, katan, it means the woman is in, right, she can do it. The other opinion says, no, the katan is in, the woman is out. Okay, there's two different opinions about it. So now, we want to know what's the logic behind what they're saying. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan uposel b'isha u'b'androgynous, because the androgynous is the suffek isha. My time under Rabbanan, what's the reason? What's the logic of Chachamim? Okay, for this you have to understand the psukim a little bit, okay? The psukim work like this. Here, if you want to open to Bamidbar Yudtet, okay? If you have a Tanakh, sorry, I don't have enough. Okay, I'll open here and then I'll pass it around. You can look for a minute. Bamidbar Yudtet, Pasuk Yudzayin. Okay, so first, before Yud Zayin, one second, it says, V'lakchu latameh me'eh for srefat achatat, v'natan alav mayim chayim el keli. Okay, so you take, the tameh takes from the afar srefat achatat, and they put upon him mayim chayim. Okay, they put this fresh water. What? Okay. Yeah, it's in there also.
Oh, okay.
Right, I don't know if they have all the psukim in there, but... the next pasuk, I don't think they have. Then it says, "Vilakach ezov." Oh, you know what? Maybe it's on the next page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, but maybe yud chet. It's on the next page.
Yeah.
No, yud chet is not on the next page. Okay. So vilakach ezov v'tafal b'mayim. So first vilakchu latameh. Okay. Then he takes the ezov and he dips it in the water. Mm-hmm. And then it says, "V'izal torah latameh." Okay. But there was another pasuk I was trying to find. Asaf ish tahor, where is that? One second. Here. Okay, way back to Pasuk Tet, a bunch of Pasukim before. It says, Ba'asaf ish tahor et efer hapara. Okay, and ish tahor gathers the efer of the para, the beginning stage. Okay, so we're going to darshan all these words a little bit. Okay, so now what happens? Bilakhu latameh me'afar strefat hapara, ahachatat. Okay, so now what do they say? We had originally someone collects via saf. Now we have vilakhu. So what are they going to say here? They're going to darshan that hanach, who's vilakhu? It must be someone who was involved in the process earlier. Who was involved in the process earlier? The person who collected. So what are they going to say? Whatever criteria there were for the asaf are going to be the same criteria for the lakhu. Okay? So they're going to say hanach de pasle ba'asefa, whoever's pasul for va'asaf is pasul b'kiddush. And halach dekshirim ba'asefa kshirim b'kiddush. Because it says asaf, and then it says lakhu, it must be the same person, okay? Because it doesn't say, and a new person, right, and a kohen, it doesn't give you a subject there. It just means it's the same continuum. Now, and it doesn't say this here, but I put this on your sheet. The drasha by v'yasef ish tahor, okay, it's v'asaf ish tahor. Ish, they say, v'lo katan. And tahor comes to include even a woman. So you see that a katan can do it, a woman can do it, so whatever's true for collecting is also true for the later process of touching it and taking it and mixing the water and the kiddush that we talked about. So that's Tanakhama's opinion. That's why they think women are ksherim and katanim are out. Rabbi Yehuda amar lecha imkei nemakra velakach. My velakhu. You notice, I don't know if you notice this, but asaf is singular. Lakhu is plural. Lakhu seems to include someone who wasn't there before. So what do you see? Even those who couldn't do it there are allowed to do it here. So now, what does that mean then? So we're going to, the katan, right? What did we have? The katan was pasul. He's now kasher. But what's weird about this? The isha was ksherah before, so she should be ksherah here too, right? He doesn't say, and the flip is true, right? He just says it includes more people. So now they say, ihach isha nami. The woman also should be allowed. So now it says, no, because it says, v'natan v'lo natna. Okay, they derive from the Lashon Natan that it's male. even though, right, you could obviously go either way. Usually things are masculine, even though they mean masculine and feminine. V'rabbanan, what do they do with a, what do they say? What do they do with this word v'natan? Because they include women. Ikti v'lakach v'natan, hava amina, shakilcha v'yahivchad. Katab rachmana v'lakchu. Okay, so what do we learn here? He says from the fact that it says v'lakach v'lakchu, and then it says v'natan, if it had just said it all in singular, you would have thought that shakilcha v'yahivchad, it has to be the same person. Okay? Or it has to be one person does this and one person does that. But then it says v'lakchu to teach you, right, that it could be two people who do it. V'ikat abrachmana v'lakchu v'natnu, but what if it had said the whole thing double, right? I mean, plural. Hava amina d'shak le'tre v'yave tre. You would have thought that two people could take, two people have to do each part of the process. So therefore, they wrote, katav rachmana v'lakchu v'natan d'afilu shak le'tre v'yadchad. Okay, or the reverse. Okay, so now what do we say? It just teaches you the words, the jumping from singular to plural teaches you that two people could be involved in the first part and one person could be involved in the second, or the reverse. Okay, now we're going to this pasuk, v'hiza hatahor al hatameh. Okay, so now what do we do with this word, hatahor al hatameh? Tahor michlal shehu tameh. Limed al tful yom shakasher bepara. Here's the source for how we know that the para aduma can be handled by a tful yom. That's how we started the shiur today, right? That a para tful yom is allowed to do the para aduma, even though normally he can't touch like truma and other things. So what do we say? Because it says v'hizah tahor al hatameh. Who's the person doing it? The tahor. What does it mean? The tahor. Okay. Tahor seems to imply that he must be partially tameh. Okay, it's a little bit weird, right? It's saying the tahor from something, but not tahor from something like entirely, is the way they darshan it. Again, this is really just connecting it to a pasuk, not necessarily that's really the pshat of the pasuk. Okay, it's clearly not. Okay, ba'mi name Rav Sheshet. Now we have a separate question. Arel mahu b'maser. Okay, we're trying, like I said at the beginning of class, we're trying to put this arel into a category of other things. So do we compare him to a tful yom? Do we compare him to a regular tameh? How do we set him up? What is he like? So they say, can he eat maser? Okay, we said he can't eat truma. But can he, what maser are we talking about? Maser sheni. Remember what maser sheni is? When you take, right, a tenth of your produce goes to the levi, then another tenth on the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the cycle goes, you bring it to Yerushalayim, right? You usually flip it onto a coin. You bring the coins to Yerushalayim. You buy fruits with that money. You eat them in Yerushalayim. So they want to know, can an arel eat maser sheni? Ki hecha deyalef pesach mi maser, le'inyan aninut yalef. Le'inyan aninut, yalef na mi maser mi pesach, le'inyan arelut. O dilma, chamor mikal yalef, kal mi chamor lo yalef. So what are they saying here? Are we going to learn, if maser, what did we learn about pesach? We learned that an onen is aser, right? And what did we learn? We took, if you remember this, we saw this the other day, that the issue of an onen, that he can't do the korban pesach, we learned out from maser. It wasn't written specifically in the text by pesach. Again, right, there was something that wasn't talked about. They learned it out from maser. Now, when you learn something from somewhere, the question is, does it go both directions? Can you learn now from maser to Pesach? Okay, I'm sorry, from Pesach to maser? Okay, I'll write it out for you. Okay. So we had Pesach and maser, right? What did we say? Maser, and onen can't eat maser, right? Well, let's do an X on the onen. Onen can't eat maser. So we said also an onen can't do Pesach. Okay? So now we want to know an arel can't do Pesach. So can we learn from there that an arel can't do maser? That's what we want to do. We want to know, does it go both directions? Or do we say yalef mikal dilma chamor mikal yalef? Which is more chamor, Pesach or maser? Pesach. Clearly Pesach is more chamor, because Pesach, if you don't do the korban Pesach, you get karet. Okay, you get cut off. Maser is just a regular halacha. So now, do we just say, well, if an onen can't eat maser, an onen is a kal, so we can learn to Pesach. But obviously, he can't eat korban Pesach. But if an arel can't eat korban Pesach, maybe it's because Pesach is very chamor. So we can't necessarily learn from there to maser. So really what this question is, okay, it's really what the Mepharshim explain. There's two kinds of, I mean, there's many kinds of limudim, okay, ways you can learn out things. But one, the two basic kinds, or at least the ones for this purpose, one is a kal v'chomer, okay? If this is kal and yet it has a stringent, if this is lenient, has a stringent halacha, we can learn for something more stringent, a stringent halacha. But the other way is called gzera shava, when the same word appears in both places, and we learn from one to the other, and then it can go both directions. The kal v'chomer can obviously only go in one direction. And they don't really know, where do we learn out maaser, the onen issue, to Pesach? Is it a gzera shava? Is it a kal v'chomer? What kind of limud is it? And therefore, it has ramifications on other things. Can we learn from the arel of Pesach to maaser? So that's their question. They say tani tua. Let's learn it from this Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Hatruma v'habikurim. Now we're going to have a list, okay? So this first one I charted out. The other one I didn't have time to chart out. But the first one is going to compare the first part of this Mishnah. It's Bikurim, I think, Perek Bet Halacha Mishnah Aleph. It's going to say the Truma and Bikurim, okay, right? Truma is what you give to the Kohen. The Bikurim are your first fruits that you bring to the Beit HaMikdash on Shavuot. Have something chamor about them that we don't have in Maaser. Okay, they don't exist in Maaser. Afterwards, we're going to compare Bikurim and Maaser have something that doesn't exist in Truma. Okay, we're going to make comparisons. So the Mishnah starts like this. And what are we going to basically, I'll just tell you where we're going with this. It doesn't say anywhere about the Arel when it comes to Maaser. Okay, so therefore we're going to assume that an Arel can't eat Maaser, otherwise it would be listed on this list. Okay, so now what do they say? Hatshuma v'abikurim chayavim aleihem mita v'chomesh. Mita. Chayavim aleihem mita. If you eat truma and bikurim and you're not supposed to eat them, okay, if you're a person who's not supposed to eat them, you get death bidei shamayim, okay, from God. V'chomesh, if you eat them and they belong, right, you're not allowed to eat them, you have to pay back the value plus an added fifth. V'asurim lezarim, okay, they're only allowed to eat by kohanim. Okay, this now explains who's getting death and who has to pay the chomesh. If it's a regular person, not a kohen. V'heim nichse kohen. Once you give these to the Kohen, he can do with them whatever he wants. They're his produce, like they're not holy stuff that he can only do certain things with. He's allowed to use them. He can sell them and then buy a house. He can do anything with them. But olim becha b'me'ah, this is dinim of bitul. Let's say you have a pile of regular stuff, and let's say 100, okay? And one, right, 100, whatever it is, 100 of a measurement, and one measurement falls of truma or bikurim falls into this pile of stuff, and now you don't know which is which, right? It's all mixed up. So if it's one to 100, then it's canceled out. Okay. Normally, what do we say? Normally, we say bitul berov. It's right. If more of it is regular stuff and less of it is the problematic stuff, it's canceled. When it comes to certain things like milk and meat, we say batal b'shishim, 1 in 60. When it comes to truma and bikurim, we say 1 to 100. Okay, there's different laws of different things, but that's basically. Right, there's a bunch of others also that are more chamor. V'tu'unim rechitzat yadayim, you have to wash your hands. We learned this, yadayim reshniyot, they carry tuma. Remember, if your hands touch something, they have tuma on them, even though the rest of your body isn't tameh. And therefore, you always have to wash your hands before this, because maybe your hands are tameh. V'harev shemesh, you have to wait till nighttime. This is what we said, the tful yom, right? If you dunk in the morning in the mikvah, you have to wait till sunset to do it. Hare elu b'truma bikurim masha'ein kein b'maser. Okay, all this stuff doesn't apply to maser. Okay, remember we said a tful yom is allowed to eat maser. Okay? And all these things, obviously. V'im ita, and if really one of these differences was the arel, nitne arel Arel asur b'hem mash'en kein b'maser. I'm sorry, I said this wrong in the beginning. It's the opposite. It's because it doesn't list arel here. Remember, can an arel eat truma? No. For sure not. That was our Mishnah. So since this isn't listed as a difference, it must be the arel can't eat maser. Okay? Because it doesn't list it here as a difference between truma and maser. So now they say, oh no, you could just say Tana b'shir. He listed a whole long list, but he left off a bunch of things. We've seen this before, but every time you say Tana b'shir, what do you have to explain? You have to explain what else did he leave off the list. Because if he put in, you know, how many things are here? 7 things, and he left off just one, it doesn't make any sense. If he left off a bunch, okay, then we can understand it was a partial list. So now they want to know, what did he leave off? So now we're going to show he left off something in the second part of this Mishnah. Okay, not in this list, but the next list he left off stuff. So here you can see that he left off stuff. So again, sorry to make a chart of it, but we'll go through all these things now. Yesh b'maser b'kurim ashen ken b'truma. Now we're going to see things that exist for maser and b'kurim and don't exist for truma, and then eventually we're going to say that there's two things missing from this list that we know about for sure, which is going to then prove if they left off something off that list, then the obvious they could have left something off this list also. So now, what did they leave off? Dekatani sefi yesh maser b'kurim ashen ken b'truma. Okay, what are the things? Hashem maser u'b'kurim. Te'unim hava'at makom. You need to eat them in a specific place. You have to bring them to Rosh Hashanah. Right, which obviously truma you can eat anywhere. U'te'unim vidoy. You make a confession when you say it. There's like a recitation that you say when you bring the maser or the bikurim. Ve'asur la'onein. An onein can't eat them, right? We learned truma, an onein can eat. Remember, an onein is a person who, somebody dies and they haven't yet buried them, and it's one of your close relatives, so you have to deal with their burial, and because of that, you're patur for mitzvah, and you can't eat maaser, but you can eat truma, okay? And you can't eat bikurim. Rabbi Shimon matir. On this issue, though, about vidoy, about onein, Rabbi Shimon says it is allowed. An onein can eat maaser and bikurim. We're going to see later what the machlokas is about. B'chayavim bibi'ur. You're supposed to get rid of... how does this work? Okay, look in Rashi for a minute. Bikurim u'maser sheni b'shana ha-shlishit, in the third year. Okay, after the, remember I said the maser is the first and second year? Okay, so in the third year, you're supposed to give maser ani. That same tenth you give to the poor people. Okay, likewise with the sixth year. So if you have maserot left over, right, we say this text, b'arti ha-kodesh min abayit. Okay, so you have to basically, I don't remember exactly how it works, but you have to get rid of all the stuff you have in your house, I think. And then you can't have it anymore past that time or something like that. I don't remember. We'll look at it later, what exactly bi'ur is. Okay, so they need bi'ur, whereas truma doesn't need bi'ur. The Rabbi Shimon poter. Okay, Rabbi Shimon says, in this case, that you... Shimon poter biku. Right. Okay. I was thinking you have to do bior b'maser. He's poter bior when it comes to the bikurim. You don't have to do them for the bikurim. Okay. Let's just read this for a second. Okay. So bior is if you have maser sheni bikurim that you have for the first three years of the Shemitah cycle. Okay, until Pesach of the fourth year, like once the 3 years pass, and Maser Sheni Bikurim that are in your hands from the fourth year until the sixth year, right, the same thing in those years, you have until the middle of the Shemitah year and the middle of the fourth year to do Bi'ur. So what does that mean? You bring whatever you have left to Yerushalayim, and you eat them there, immediately it says, and if you don't bring it to Yerushalayim, then you have to basically destroy it all, okay? You have to take it all out of your house and I guess probably burn it. And then after you do that, there's a text that you say. Okay, it comes up in the Torah, this text. It says, it's called, you say, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min Abayit. I've taken everything out of my house. And the Bikurim, they say, happens when the Kohen gets them. Because he has to eat them and make sure, the Chiyuv is on him. He has to make sure they're all eaten or gotten rid of. Okay, but Truma doesn't have any such thing. Okay. A Kohen can eat it as much as he wants. There's no time where basically you say, at this point, you have to get rid of it all. Okay. So now, Rabbi Shimon said that the Bikurim don't need Bior, because it only says it in the Torah when it comes to Maser. The question is just, we're going to see this in a minute, the whole Machloka, Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim are on these issues is, do you learn out everything from Bikurim, you know, all sorts of things from Bikurim, for Bikurim from Maser? Okay. Ve'elu asur leba'er mehem b'tum'ah. Okay, so now, if you're tamei, you can't get rid of them. Okay, you can't touch them. Like, you're not allowed to be with them when they're tamei. Okay, and you can't... Asur leba'er b'tum'ah means once you... If you, let's say, you have this bikurim or maser, are you allowed to burn it to use for oil, let's say, to light a candle or something like that? You can't, what happens? Once they become tamei, you can't use them anymore. So now, what do you do with them? So when it comes to the bikurim and the maser sheni, you're not allowed to use them for hana'a once they're tameim. Whereas the truma, when it becomes tamei, you can burn it and use it as a candle, you can do something with it. Okay, but the others you can't. Be'ochlim b'tumat atzman lo ken. Okay, if you eat the bikurim or the maaser when you're tameh, okay, the first one was if it becomes tameh, but what if you are tameh? No, sorry. Tumat atzman is also when it becomes tameh. Let's say you eat them. We just said a minute ago, you can't get hana'ah from them once they're tameim. Let's say you ate them, which is aser, when they're tameim, you get malkot for them. Okay, whereas if you eat truma, you don't get malkot for it. We'll see why after. Masha'en came b'truma. Okay, so now what do you see here? So now, what happened was, I read too far, okay? After Rabbi Shimon Poter, on the page before, was the end of the Mishnah. And then it says, I missed that word, V'ilu, okay? But yet, these last two things, if Asur L'Va'er Mehem B'tuma and Ochlam B'tuma Tatzman Lokeh, those two things are not true for Truma, and they are true for Bikurim and Maser, and they're not listed here. And because of that, that's the situation. Okay? Now we're going to start going through all the cases that we just saw. Okay? And explain it. Basurim la'onen, we want to know specifically this machloket, right? When it comes to an onen, Rabbi Shimon is matir. And yet chachamim are osir. Minalehu, why does he say it's mutar? Dichtiv, lo tuchal le'echo b'sharecha maser dechancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha utrumat yadecha. Okay, the rest of this pasuk, okay, let me just read it so you'll understand the context. You can see it on the side also in your Gemaras if you have it. Lo tuchal le'echo b'sharecha, you can't eat in your own sharim, the maser degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha u'becharot b'karecha v'tzonecha, right? You're supposed to bring them to the Beit HaMikdash. B'chol nedarecha asher tidor v'nidvotecha utrumat yadecha, and also the nedarim that you make a neder for, the nedavot, right? You're supposed to bring them to the Beit HaMikdash, and also trumat yadecha. So now the question is, what does it mean trumat yadecha? The assumption is it's talking about bikurim. Okay? So now what do they say? Bamamar, trumat yadecha elu bikurim. And therefore, since bikurim are mentioned, here's a new, we talked about Gzeira Shavah, we talked about a Kal V'Chomer, here's another thing. This is called a hekesh. If two things are in the same pasuk, we say what's true for one is true for the other. So what do you see here? V'it kash bikurim l'maser, since maser is in the beginning of the pasuk, bikurim is in the end of the pasuk, what do we say? Ma maser asur lo'onein, ap bikurim asur lo'onein. That's Tanakama's opinion, Chachamim. They say, whatever's true for maser is true for bikurim, certainly about these issues. Rabbi Shimon, what does he say? When he says, no, it's for bikurim, it's mutar, onein, he says, truma krin hu rachmana. What does it call it? It calls the bikurim trumat yadecha. So now, what does that mean? Why is it called trumat yadecha? What does it sound like? It sounds like truma. So what does he say? Ma truma muteret lonein, af bikurim mutar lonein. Okay, one says, oh, they're in the same pasuk. Whatever's true for maaser is going to be true for bikurim. And the other one says, no, no, no. They call the bikurim trumat yadecha. That means that the details of bikurim we're going to learn out from truma. Okay, and truma is mutar for lonein, so therefore this is also mutar for lonein. Now, why specifically they only have a machloket about onein and bior, I don't know. Okay? But, yeah, I don't know why that's the case. Okay, so now, v'Rabbi Shimon, sorry, v'chayavim b'bior, okay, here's the next machloket between them, v'Rabbi Shimon poter. So again, they're going to basically say the same reason. Mar makish umar lo makish. Okay, this one does the hekesh between bikurim and maaser, and one doesn't because he says it's called truma. Okay, now we're going to learn about this. Va'asur leva'er mehem b'tum'ah, v'ochlam b'tum'at atzman lokeh, minalam. Where do we learn this from? How do you know that you can't burn them once they're tameh? You can't get hana'ah from them if they were nitmu, the maser sheni. And if you were to eat them when they're tameh, you get malkot. So here they say, Titania, there's a braita that says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo bi'arti mimenu b'tameh. What does that mean? Okay, now how do you explain b'tameh here? What does the tameh refer to? This is like a grammatical thing, okay? I never burned, right? I didn't burn them, meaning, lo bi'arti mimenu, okay? I didn't burn them b'tameh. Now, either it could mean when I'm tameh, or it could mean when they were tameh. Okay, so here you have that, right? This is by the way, the vijoy that you say. Okay, you say, lo b'achalti ba'oni mimenu, v'lo bi'arti mimenu b'tameh. So what does that mean? Okay, it says, lo natati mimenu lameit. Okay, and then it says, shamati b'kol Hashem. I listened to God about all the details of this. So now what does it mean? Lo bi'arti mimenu b'tameh. So they say, bein sha'ani tameh v'hu tahor, bein sha'ani tahor v'hu tameh. Okay, it could be am tameh, but the food was tahor, or am tahor, and the food was tameh. It could be both. Okay, so now they say, v'hecham, is a very interesting line in the Braita, Rabbi Shimon says, if you notice, the pasuk says, I didn't burn it when it was tameh. But if you want to get punished, right, we just said, loket, you get malkot if you eat it b'tumat atzman. Now, how do you get malkot for something? There has to be a lo ta'aseh in the Torah in order to get lashes for doing something. Now he says, here it says, you come and you say your vidur, your confession. What do you say? You say, I didn't burn this when it was tameh. Now again, okay, so he's saying that means either it's tameh or I'm tameh. It doesn't matter. Either which one, it means bitameh in any sort of form of tumah. But it never says anywhere, I didn't, right? I can't eat it if it's tameh. So he says, I don't know where to find the lo ta'aseh for that. Okay, so now we're taking a break for the braita for a second and we're going to come back to it. They say, tumat haguf behed yaktiv be. When it comes to tumat haguf, you were saying, right, we learned it out from this pasuk, but it says it explicitly about tumat haguf. We don't necessarily learn it from this lo bi'artim v'ena b'tameh. Or, oh no, right, if it's, the line where he says, I don't know where mutar l'achila, he says it says it here explicitly in the pasuk about if the object itself is tameh. Where does it say it? Nefesh asher tigabo utmea ara erev belo yochal mina kodeshim ki im rachatz b'saro b'mayim. Tumat haguf is, I keep confusing these, tumat atzman is the food itself and tumat haguf is the person. So if the person is tameh, we have a lo ta'aseh. It says it very clearly. It says, below yochal mina kodeshim ki im rachatz b'saro b'mayim. You can't eat anything holy unless you cleaned yourself, right? Unless you went to the mikvah. So hachi kamibaylei, his question when he says, I never found a pasuk, is not talking about if a person's tameh. If a person's tameh, we know where the lo ta'aseh is. But the halacha we talked about before was ochlam b'tumat atzman, eating these objects if they are tameh. Where do we learn it from? Okay, now we're going back to the Braita. So this tangent was just to explain, his question is not on a person being tameh, that we know. Okay, there's a clear lo ta'aseh, but where is the lo ta'aseh for if the object itself is tameh, then you get malko for not eating it. Where's the lo ta'aseh for that? So now they say, Talmud lomar, lo tuchal le'echob sharecha maser degancha, ולהלן הוא אומר בשעריך תאכלנו הטמא והטהור יחדיו כצפי כאייל. Okay, there's a pasuk that says, right, this is in Sefer Dvarim, it says, בשעריך תאכלנו הטמא והטהור יחדיו כצפי וכאייל. בתנא דבי רבי ישמעאל, what do they learn from here? אפילו טמא וטהור אוכלים על שולחן אחד, בקערה אחת, ואין חוששים. ואמר רחמנא, ההוא דאמר לך הטעם, B'sharecha tochlenu ha'cha lo techol. Okay, what does it say? Here it says, B'sharecha tochlenu atameh v'ator yachtav katzvi ka'ayal. Just forgot to look up what the context of this pasuk is. One second. Reim tefav, pasuk kafet. Okay, this is about b'chorot. Okay, if you have a b'chor in your tzon and your animals, okay, you have to bring it before God. And if it, oh right, this is b'chor with a mum, right? Now I remember. It's a b'chor who has a mum. If you have a b'chor, you have an animal, you're supposed to give it to the kohen. But if it has a blemish, okay, you can't bring it as a korban, and you can eat it in your sha'arim, okay? And not only, so a b'chor ba'al mum we're talking about, if you have a b'chor that has some wound injury that makes it pasul, you can eat it in your own sha'arim, ha'tahor v'hatameh yachtav, meaning you can eat it b'tumah, no problem. Now what does it say here? You eat this b'sha'arecha. Now, what did our pasuk say about the maaser? Lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha. So what do they say from here? However you were allowed to eat it b'sha'arecha, you can't eat this b'sha'arecha. So now what are they saying? If it's tameh, you can't eat it. Here we have our lo ta'aseh is lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha. And that's the lo ta'aseh that they find. Okay? So we're going to stop here for today. We'll pick up from here for next time. Okay.